And here he is, Bernie Kosar, joining us. Bernie, the first place I want to start actually is with how great this weekend was, having the legends, having the Browns alumni around to honor the inductions of Clarence Scott and Ernie Green into the Browns legends, and how special that was. I saw you guys on the gathered in the middle of the field, and I thought it really was an emotional time. And I know people's focus was on the game against the Bills, the fact that the Browns were losing, and I know a lot of people in that crowd weren't happy in that regard. But when they saw all you guys come there, I thought it just changed the tenor of the whole place for a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I want to tell a little joke, but unfortunately it's a true story too. But from the emotional side of it, you know, thanking the Browns for putting this together this weekend and having so many guys. I mean, it was probably twice as many guys the Browns flew in than usual to spend and honor the new legends, and to be on the field and to have, you know, you're thinking of the game, and we know the pain and punishment the team feels and the fans feel right now, being 0-3, what the game, the score was, what they're going through, trying to get a win, and seeing how hard it is, and realizing how hard it is to be successful in the NFL, to even get to the NFL, let alone to win in the NFL.
Right.
And then to be, like, standing on the 50-yard line on the field, and you're trying to, and as we're getting older, and I don't want to be over dramatic to the listeners out there, and I'm not trying to sensationalize this, but the real bluntness and reality of it was, you know, I'm next to Kevin Mack, Leroy Kelly, I grew up watching, was on my right, so I'm in between those two, and Kevin Mack and all the stuff we did together on that field, and then Cody Rison comes up to me and says, God, I wish when we were younger we could have appreciated and not complained as much. And
right.
Appreciate how awesome it was and how great we were to do these things and have these memories. And it was just awesome to share those moments yesterday and to be out there. And again, maybe it is a sign of age, but to be so reflective mm-hmm. of what happened and what it really takes to get there.
Well, and, you know, it is, as you said, it's about being reflective, and this is the time in our lives when we tend to do that. And here's the other thing. Bernie, you're living in the moment. You and those guys, when you played, your focus was just on playing, on winning, on doing everything possible, obviously, for the success on the field. But the job of being a quarterback, the job of being a football player, that was first and foremost. You really – and you also thought at that time – That wasn't never ending. That was, you were never going to get to a point where were standing on a field somewhere many years later looking back on it, because your mind doesn't work that way.
Well, speaking of being in the moment and speaking of being a quarterback, so that being said, so right before we came out, the fans who were there yesterday, God bless them, you know, it was raining. It was actually cold rain for this type of the year. So we're lining up in the tunnel underneath, underground, to come out before the ceremony. So, speaking of living in the moment and being trying to be a leader and trying to be the quarterback, they start giving us hats and ponchos to wear so that we don't get wet. You know, it's as we go out onto the field.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, some of the greatest gladiators that ever played on this field, and we're all going to wear ponchos because it's a little sprinkles going on. So as a quarterback, I unilaterally yelled out to throw down the ponchos because we don't want to go out there on the field because we're supposed to be the tough guys gladiators, and we're going to show up there, bunch of guys wearing ponchos because there's a little drizzle in September.
We're not wearing any ponchos, damn it. Yeah, that's great. That's good. The tough guy deal. I love it. I love it. You made a statement. Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does, right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Okay. We've avoided it enough. Let's talk about yesterday's game, Bernie. And it was obviously very disappointing to see that performance following something that looked so encouraging the week before against the Bengals. The offense just seemed to, if it didn't take a step back, Bernie, it certainly disconnected with what had happened a week ago in Cincy.
Well, unfortunately, I concur with you. You know, I try to look at things positively, and I want to look at things optimistically. And I was getting ready for the game last week, I was trying to pretend there was a few things not happening. And I'm not trying to make excuses for the Browns or for the loss or for the performance or for being 0-3. But Buffalo and what they've done in the offseason, especially in their front four and their seven defensive guys, has really done a lot of good stuff. And they hadn't played very good or to their ability the first two games of the year. And I know the type of defense Dave wants, that their defensive coordinator plays, and it doesn't set up well for what we're trying to do offensively with the Browns. And I had that just bad feeling in my stomach through the course of the week. And to your point, unfortunately, it materialized during the game. They were able to get some pressure with four, playing shell coverage, forcing really the Browns to try to do those 10, 12, 14 play, 70, 80-yard drives. And right now, with the inconsistencies and really not really lack of playmaking that's going on with the team, it's really hard for us with the young guys to get 10, 12, 14 good plays together to get the ball in the end zone.
What are you observing from Brandon Whedon? He looks certainly like the guy that can take the downfield shots because of the strength of his arm, but the question then becomes, okay, do you need to put more air under it at certain times than others? I know it's not just a one-way deal. The receiver has to do his part. What do you see that isn't connecting when there are these disconnects on passes, the deeper passes?
Well, the deeper passes I came from the school of thought and from the coaching that you did it a couple times a quarter. So that ends up being 8, 10, 12 times a game. You know, I'm not sure we're doing it that much. So when you're not doing it as much, it limits, you know, you really need to hit them when you're hitting them. And like the Travis Benjamin one early down the right sideline, sometimes you got to go up and get the ball too. I'm not trying to be a quarterback apologist and blame it on the receivers, because it goes both ways. But very rarely in the league today does the ball end up in your hip pocket, drop in your lap, and you make the play. A lot of times you got to go up and get it. So being a little, it would help a little more aggressive going for the ball. And then the timing of it seems to be, he's got such a good, strong arm that, and he, again, being a rookie, you'd like to probably get these throws off a good half count, split second earlier to get the ball coming out of their break, as opposed to when they're probably into the route a little more, where the DBs are able to close on the ball, or the DBs have lengthened the play where it's an extra 5 or 10 yards down the field where it gets a little too deeper and guys have a time to close on the play.
And when you look at, once again, this was twice out of three games where the running game is going nowhere, and essentially that just opens so much up for the pass rush. It happened against Philadelphia in about the same average, a couple yards per carry for Trent Richardson. Yeah, he had the nice touchdown run yesterday, a six-yarder, did a whole lot on his own, but many times he was caught behind the line of scrimmage. He had almost no chance to get going. And when the running game is that ineffective, obviously it's going to make you one-dimensional and allow that defense to have such an edge when it comes to defending the pass.
Yeah, excellent point, unfortunately. The running game, and I'm not trying to make excuses all for Trent Richardson, and I'm not trying to throw it all on the line, because I thought majority of the game yesterday, the pass protection was probably pretty good, especially considering some of the athletes that Buffalo has on their front four. But in terms of getting a push and driving the D-line back, opening up holes at the line of scrimmage into the defensive side, our line really didn't do that. So in turn, as Trent Richardson was getting the ball to before, he's having to make cuts 2-3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, behind where he really wants to, and the timing of the plays are so effective that makes the play ineffective.
Yeah. Well, we'll see with a short week now, Bernie, how this team can maybe turn things around against the Ravens team. I'm sure you watched them last night, their win over the Patriots. Just some thoughts on getting this compressed week together and get this team ready to play another game against an outstanding opponent.
Well, probably fortunately, the football gods went the right way for the Ravens last night. Coach Belichick, I think, is probably having an aneurysm today with some of the calls that went the way they went. But Baltimore ends up getting a win. So hopefully they're taking things a little lightly in this short week and hopefully thinking about a few days off as opposed to Thursday night.
All right, that's what we got to hang our hats on. Okay. I'll go with it, whatever we got. Bernie, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Sounds good, Vic.
All right, he is Bernie Kosar, the one and only, joining us here, as he always does, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.